Swagoo and Perk, an ESPN podcast led by its namesake hosts, Marcus Spears, that's Swagoo, and Kendrick Perkins, that's Perk. They've got new episodes every Tuesday morning. Spears and Perkins will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, as well as a look inside their lives, career journeys, and their can't-miss conversations. That's Swagoo and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, and also available on ESPN's YouTube channel. Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA coming on Thursday morning. Joining me from New York City, right by the Garden, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Were you attending Grizzlies Knicks on Wednesday night?
I sure did. Saw the best show in the NBA. It was great.
When you say best show, are you talking about Jaren Jackson's lime green winter like raincoat thing?
I'm talking about everything with the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are the most fun team to watch on the court. They're the most fun team to listen to off the court, as our guy Ben McMahon wrote a terrific story about yesterday going into the game. They are awesome on every front.
Let's bring in Ben McMahon, who is joining us from Salt Lake City, where he was at the Jazz Nuggets game on Wednesday night.
I was at the Jazz Nuggets JV game. I am right across the street from Tiffin Square Arena. Had to move. I no longer have the view. Now I have a view of like some power lines or whatever. But
wait a minute. You better say Howdy Partners. Otherwise, I'm going to get in trouble.
Oh, my goodness. Howdy Partners. I am sorry. It's early in the morning out here. I don't know what, you know, my manners don't really activate until I wake up. Hopefully that little cold brew I drank kicks in soon. Howdy, partners. Sorry.
Yeah, we had to get him up early today because McMahon's got to, or Bontemps has to get back to New York or back to Boston later. Boy, I'm all over the place. Yeah, McMahon, you had a story that published, was it on Wednesday or Tuesday?
About Wednesday.
Yeah.
Time for that ESPN game the Grizzlies were so eagerly anticipating.
Yeah. And basically, well, I'll let you tell us what's in that story. I mean, you guys should all check it out. But
it's terrific.
Because let me just say, Bontemps got very excited about the Grizzlies. I'm sure he was really keyed up last night. I wasn't sure he was still going to be keyed up, but it seems like he is.
I'm keyed up.
So before we turn him loose, tell us what you, I mean, you followed the Grizzlies for years for us now, but.
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, they are just the most fun team in the NBA right now. Look, they feel like they're contenders. They've got the third best record in the league. You know, as that story spells out, they haven't done anything in the playoffs to, you know, prove that, but they certainly are confident they can, they will, they're on the verge of something big. But this is a team that is ridiculously fun to watch. As Bontemps said, they might be even more fun in the post-game stuff. They are a delightfully cocky bunch of young kids. And, man, you know, the LeBron scene with LeBron, you know, acting like the grumpy uncle at the barbecue who's finally losing a pickup game and doesn't like it, you know, just cussing them out in the middle of the game. And then, you
that
know,
was Desmond Bane, right? He cussed
Desmond Bane was the primary target of LeBron.
It was sort of the entire team because the entire team was kicking him up and down the court.
But Desmond Bane's one who really got under his skin. And so I see him 2.5-3 weeks later and I'm thinking, well, you know, it's a pretty interesting scene to be perfect for this story. I wonder if they'll be willing to talk about it. Not only were they willing to talk about it, they were eager. I mean, they are proud of that moment.
And, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah. And it's like John Morant said, that moment pretty much sums up who the Grizzlies are. They are a team that they're going to talk their talk. You know, they're going to hoop and they're not backing down from anybody. And Bane, I mean, they're funny. They're a funny bunch of kids. Like Bane kind of runs me through the whole thing, just very matter of factly. And then after he goes through the whole, as he calls it, that little ordeal that everybody saw at the free throw line, he goes, after that, I mean, we were up 25 or 30 points. So I went over there and rested.
Well,
and
wait,
he laughed.
Not everybody may know exactly what happened, so can you recount the
January 9 at the arena formerly known as the Staples Center,
the Crypt.
The Grizzlies were putting on a show, and this game is people probably remember mostly for Ja Morant's ridiculous chase down, grab the ball at the top of the square block on Avery Bradley. And so, you know, the Grizzlies are leading by double figures, and then they just go on this huge run in the third quarter. And, you know, it's Bane throws a lob to Morant where he has to duck his head to avoid hitting on the rim, which I think we can all relate to. You know, Bane hits and by the way, on that lob, that fast break started with an Avery Bradley pull-up air ball three where LeBron slumps his shoulders. And then his transition defense did not get him past the free throw line in the backcourt.
There's a whole sizzle reel of those types of possessions for LeBron this
season. Yeah. And so, and then, you know, Bane hits another shot, talks some stuff. Another turnover leads to another fast break. LeBron takes his time getting back on this one. Bane's open for a trailer three because of it. LeBron kind of, I'm not going to say closes from behind, but as the ball went through the net, Bane says, them footsteps ain't scaring nobody. LeBron did not. LeBron did not like that. The next possession, he comes down. He turns it over. Zaire Williams, who was playing with Bronny James at Sierra Canyon High School a couple years ago.
That is crazy.
He scoops it up. They're back in transition. You know, Ja weaves his way through. He gets hacked. Almost still gets an and one. They're all hugging him on the baseline, giggling, laughing. I mean, the Grizzlies, it is a grand old time for the Memphis Grizzlies. Bane comes in there. He's hooting, hollering, high-fiving. And LeBron said, he steps to the middle of the paint, gets right in Bane's face. That's the last time. That's, and you can read the story because I, you know, our producers,
there's
Dave
a lot of
Jackson,
bleep, so it would be needed.
I don't want to put them through that much work. They would have to, this thing wouldn't get out until Saturday with all the bleeps that came from that point on. But long story short, Bane barks back. You know, the Grizzlies are smiling. They were enjoying that moment. They completed a blowout win. And look, you saw it last night in New York. There's going to be chippiness, chirping. As John Moran explained to me, there will be drippiness. I asked him to describe the Grizzlies culture. He thought, and he said, drippy. If anybody knows what that means. And I thought I did, but I did look it up on urbandictionary.com just to be sure. The rough translation for folks of our demographics is a supreme level of swagger. And that's what this team has.
Yeah, they did it in LA, and then they did it. I mean, by the way, they've just collected like 7 or 8 spectacular road wins this year. They've got probably the most impressive road portfolio. And Not that last night was that impressive because the Knicks aren't that good, but they came in with their drippy swag. How about that? Is that redundant? They came in with their drippy swag, Bontemps, and infected you with their enthusiasm.
Well, I mean, listen, that's
hard to do.
I saw them in Brooklyn 6 weeks ago, and it was the same thing. I mean, they're just the most fun. It's like McMahon said, they're the most fun team in the league. They're talking their talk off the court. They play like it on the court. They're flying around. You know, they're 90 seconds into the game last night. They're throwing down alley-oops. Ja Morant nearly ripped the rim off at the end of the first half with a ridiculous full court series of passes. Ball never touched the ground, ends with him almost jumping over the backboard and dunking it. The end of the game, he tries to jump over Mitchell Robinson. I thought he might have killed himself. He tries to jump over Mitchell Robinson and dunk it. Gets knocked to the ground, hops right up. After the game, he's like, yeah, I wasn't really trying to dunk it. I was jumping off 1 foot. That tells you I wasn't really trying to dunk the ball. I mean, he shot 9 for 27 last night. Desmond Bane was 4 for 18. They're 13 for 45 together. And like the Knicks were playing pretty well. I mean, I know the Knicks are in a rough stretch, but the Knicks weren't playing bad. And they were just casually pounding them into the ground the whole game. Every time the Knicks would make a run to get back in it, they would push the lead back up again. Just very casual.
Zaire Williams had a really good game. Obviously, his first game at the Garden. And it was one to remember. He shot the ball really well.
And he struggled on Monday. They lost in Philly to the Sixers. Joel Embiid didn't play.
Yeah.
And Zaire was pretty bad in that game. And he comes back, he has a big game, career high 21 points. They win the game. And he comes in to do media after Jaren and Ja.
They get the podium. He gets a podium game in his first game at the Garden.
Well, he gets a podium game in MSG, but beyond that, like Jaren and Ja, like they start, like they move the chairs around for him, they set him down, they ask him.
They were cleaning off his drip.
They made a big production of it for sure.
But that moment and another one from earlier in the year, John Conchar, who's a backup guard, is a nice player off the bench for Memphis, had like 17 or 18 rebounds in a game, and he gets the walk-off interview in a game in Memphis. The whole team sprints over. and is giving them love after the game. Like they're just such a connected group. Mm-hmm. And McMahon obviously saw that being around them. Like they genuinely enjoy being around each other and playing together. And it's just a refreshing team to be around, because like they're just having infinite fun all the time.
Yeah,
and it's really great to see.
And it is. It's like an AAU team on a summer tour, you know, and they're just a bunch yes. of kids having fun. And, you know, the Zaire Williams, so he misses. Ja kicks it out to him with the, and first of all, they shouldn't have been, it shouldn't have been that close, but he kicks it out to him with the game on the line. He misses a corner three, you know, the last shot of that game. And so after that game in Philly, Ja made a point basically to say, nobody better be blaming him. You know, I had 9 turnovers. I missed some big time clutch free throws. You know, this one's on me, da da da. And they were so proud of the way, you know, again, this he's not just a rookie. He is a kid. Like he was LeBron or Bronny James' teammate 2 years ago. He's yep. a baby. And they were just so proud of the way that he bounced back and delivered in that moment. And you mentioned Ja didn't have a great game last night. Bane couldn't throw it in the ocean. But like, and you, we didn't need that to know, like, this Memphis team is much more than a one-man show or a two-man show. I mean, remember when Ja went out with a knee injury, this team went 10-2. So he is absolutely the best show in basketball, but they're not a one-man show. It's funny though, when you talk about Grizzlies games, like you mentioned the game in Brooklyn, and like you can remember Grizzlies games based on the best Ja highlights. So the game in Brooklyn, you remember him just soaring through the lane, like over a crowd.
Yeah.
In Duncan, you know, you mentioned if you mentioned them winning in Phoenix, you remember him, you know, beating Mikal Bridges and figuring out a way to contort his body and finish for the game winner in traffic. And they're just an absolute highlight factory. And they are not only very good at creating highlights, but they're great at celebrating them both in the moment and then post game online.
Well, I'll tell you what, and they're also just flat out really good. And the thing that's taking them to another level for me and why I think they got a legit shot to get out of the West this year is the way Jaren Jackson Jr. has evolved
yes.
as big. Like he's become a legitimate defensive force. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the best defensive bigs in the league now, and having him back there flying around, like Julius Randle kept trying to drive at him yesterday, and it was just getting swallowed up by this guy every time. And, you know, with him playing that way on the back line, with all the depth they have across the board, the pace and the speed they play with, and, you know, Ja is just at another level in terms of being able to get where he wants to go. You know, look, you look at with Draymond having back issues, you know, we'll see, you know, Phoenix has got some older players. We'll see where Chris Paul's at in May and June. Like this Memphis team just screams out the 2010-11, 2011-12 Oklahoma City Thunder to me. And it just, they are on a very rapid ascent yeah. up. And if you told me they're in the finals this year, at this point, I would not be surprised. Like
he wants to predict them, McMahon, but he just can't because they've never won a playoff.
I'm just so well, McMahon. But McMahon's the one who hasn't wanted to be the number one team in the power rankings because they never won a
playoff. You gotta win a playoff series with that core before I put you number one in the power. Also, listen,
this is ridiculous.
I'm gonna tell you, I learned the hard way not to doubt Chris Paul because of aging concerns. Okay, because I was among those who thought he was going this way. His last year in Houston. And so
I'm just talking about mm-hmm. you know, staying healthy. I mean, look, a Phoenix Memphis series would be amazing. Like that would be fun. An amazing series.
Here's the thing about Memphis. They started the season 9-10. Jaren Jackson coming off the knee injury was not good. He was terrible. Since then,
27-8.
Yeah, 27-8 since then.
And by the way, that run started when Ja got hurt, which is just insane.
I know.
Yep.
So 27-8 since then, they were like the 28th or 29th defensive team 20 games in. Now they're eighth. So I didn't run the numbers, but I'll bet they're a top three defense.
I'm going to pull it up right now, buddy, while you're talking.
Yeah. So like, yeah, they got the third best record in the league, but like you almost grade on a curve after the first 20 games since that part, sort of the the last 30 games, whatever it is, last 35 mm-hmm. games, they may have been the best team, them and Phoenix. Phoenix just doesn't seem to lose.
Yeah, Phoenix. Yeah, one of Phoenix's few losses has been Memphis going in there. Yeah, Memphis
at
going
home.
In there.
And by the way, Ja has made three or four. I mean, when you say show me Ja Morant highlights, you think about dunks or the great block. Ja has made three or four of the most highest difficulty layups I've ever seen this season, like under pressure at the end of games.
Makes them look routine.
Ja he's obviously incredibly athletic and you know, one of the best dunkers in the league, but like he's up there with Kyrie as far as like the best below the rim, just skill, finesse, contort your body, but, you know, touch both hands type of finishers too.
So Zion is the best paint scorer I've seen since Shaq, his ability to score in the paint. Obviously Kyrie is one of the greatest finesse scorers ever, his ability to get the ball up on the rim and on the backboard and crazy stuff to happen and get through traffic. But Ja's level of difficulty, his ability to score through contact and traffic for his size is just...
Ja's like a combination of Kyrie and Derrick Rose.
Yeah, he is. And he's also got, he's got that floater where if he can't get all the way to the rim, he can stop on a dime, go straight up and up and up and up and right. up and up. And then he's got really nice touch on that floater, and he's a great passer. And you know, it's interesting. Draymond Green went on with our colleague JJ Redick on his podcast, and you know, they asked about the smartest players you've played against, and he named the guys you would expect: LeBron, CP3, Rondo. But he said Ja Morant is the guy who is coming into that group. And so you're talking about this guy who's just an unbelievable athlete, who is also extremely skilled, both ball handling, finishing, and all that, and is smart. And like, if you think about their highlights, he's throwing more alley-oops than he's catching.
Sure.
And a lot of those alley-oops he's throwing are created because of the way, you know, like so many guys who have just ridiculous athleticism and speed, they don't change speeds. He manipulates the defense by changing speeds. By manipulating the angles. He's really, really good, and they've got a bunch of talent around him. And Bon Temps, to your point, Jackson is an all-defensive candidate without question because he's swatting everything in sight, and at 6'11", he can get out there and defend guards in the perimeter. And used to be he would get in foul trouble. That's not a problem anymore.
Since they started this run on November 28th, Grizzlies 104.1 defensive rating, number one in the league by an entire point over the Warriors.
Wow. And they have cap space this summer.
And three first round picks in this coming draft.
Potentially three first round picks in this draft.
Yeah, that's true. They have cap space. The Mississippi River's not quite as advantageous a recruiting thing as either of the oceans.
Well, I'm not
Brian, you should you should lay out why they might only have three first round picks, because it's kind of amazing.
This is actually kind of interesting. We're going to transition to trade deadline talk right now. And the Grizzlies have some play in this. It's because of the Lakers pick. Now, Lakers got a good win on, if you can call a win over the Blazers a good win, which right now you have to give.
It's imperative to stay in the play-in tournament.
The Lakers
battle
got
between the ninth and 11th seeds in the
West. Lakers got a win, which any one of those qualifies as good for the Lakers these days.
Right. So the Lakers right now, if the season had today, would have the 13th pick, but it's tight. They only have one fewer loss than the team that would be 10th, which is the Knicks. And the reason that's relevant is that, you know, the pick that the Lakers have this year is going to the Pelicans as part of the Anthony Davis trade. The Pelicans have subsequently traded that pick. It was part of that really big trade last year at the draft where Steven Adams and the rights to Zaire Williams, by the way, look at the Grizzlies, another good draft maneuver.
And another one that wasn't exactly, you know, a consensus hit at the time.
Right. But was it surprising he went 10th? He went 10th.
It was considered a pretty big reach.
So, because Zaire was a major recruit to
Stanford and had a rough freshman year.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and the number 10 pick, and this Lakers pick, if it is outside the top 10, if it falls 11 through 30, which everybody would assume it did, goes to Memphis. Jonas Valanciunas and the number 17 pick, which is Trey Murphy, mm-hmm. ends up going to New Orleans, and then they rerouted Bledsoe out to the Clippers. And basically they got that, they got this Lakers pick as the cost of taking Bledsoe.
Yeah.
If it doesn't convey this year, it goes to 2 seconds. But the point is this, the Lakers pick is unprotected. And if it's in the top 10, which, you know, come on, we didn't think that was any chance at all. You know, even no matter
Pelicans,
what you thought about
the Pelicans didn't think it was a real chance at all.
Well, but they, true, but when they traded it to Memphis, they protected it to keep in the top 10, just to sort of CYA.
Sure.
So the Lakers, especially with LeBron uncertain with his knee, and like there's been almost no update on it, the Lakers aren't saying what it is. He's been away from the team, quote, getting options. I don't like hearing getting options. You know, and I'm not saying it's like season threatening, but I mean, every game they play without him is a problem. And so the Grizzlies had been thinking they were going to get that pick. But more importantly, if you're the Pelicans and you're in trade talks, which the Pelicans are in a lot of, which we'll talk about in a second, you could sort of, you know, hedge your bet against the Lakers. You could say to the Pelicans, all right, I want that top 10 pick from the Lakers, because I think the Lakers are going to end up with a top 10 pick this year. You could basically sort of short the Lakers this year if you wanted to. So the Grizzlies may get that Laker pick. You know, right now they would. If the season ended today, the Lakers would have the 13th pick, and assuming no jump in the lottery, they would convey it to Memphis. But so yeah, Memphis has three firsts in this draft.
They also have Utah. Mm-hmm.
So likely three non-lottery picks. Well, I don't know. Maybe the Lakers will be a lottery pick, but maybe it'll be like 10 or 12 or 13. And they have cap space. So I'm not arguing that they're going to go out and sign, James Harden, which would be the worst idea in the world. But I am saying that this team isn't done with.
Well, and Zach Kleiman, their GM, who's done a great job kind of with this rapid rebuild. He knows how to use cap space in ways that benefit your team other than signing a free agent. They got the Warriors 2024 first by eating Andre Iguodala's salary. Well, and ended up trading him in the one move that didn't pan out for Zach Kleiman. I mean, you know, facilitating other, like there's a lot of ways that you can use cap space to get assets other than just signing a free agent. And so look, they've got a really talented group now. Based on my discussions with folks, I don't anticipate that they'll be aggressive leading into this trade deadline, just because things are going so well. Unless it's something,
only if it's like a grand slam home run. I don't
that's
think
it.
They're
yeah,
gonna...
that's, right. I would agree with that too.
Yeah, yep. Obviously they'll listen, but they're certainly not looking to shake anything up unless it's something that they feel like, wow, this really moves us forward. They don't feel any need to fast track something that's already, you know, moving along much, much quicker than anybody anticipated.
All right.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about trades. So before we do, I want to go over this week's trivia question. Last week, I forgot to do the trivia, and we had to edit it in after. Did our listeners notice that I edited it?
Stellar work by our host.
Yeah.
McMahon. Stellar work.
CarMax is taking away his ride for a month.
Yeah. And this trivia question is brought to you by CarMax. Shop online and on the lot with home delivery in select markets with CarMax. Okay. How about this one? What NBA starter this season? And I say starter only because I don't want any shenanigans with like some guy who comes off the bench for winning time. What NBA starter has the best winning percentage? What? So what NBA starter And I'll give you a hint. He's an all-star. Does his team have the best winning percentage when he plays?
He's an all-star starter? Or he will be?
The reserves haven't been announced yet, so I would have to say, yes, he's an all-star starter.
I would have gone Chris Paul, but that he would not qualify.
That would be incorrect.
Well, no crap, Bond Timms. I realize that. That's why I asked for the clarification. Is this
I believe this.
Go on.
I believe the answer by my guess would. I'm going to second guess myself. I'm going to say the answer is Joel Embiid.
That is correct. Joel Embiid and the 76ers are 27-11 when he plays. He's played 38 of their 50 games. I don't know if it's enough to qualify for MVP consideration. 27 of
that gives him the best record as a starter. I think you need to check your numbers, dude.
So far this season, Embiid has played 38 of his team's 50 games. In those 38 games, the 76ers have a 27. Oh my God, I can't believe I botched this.
The Suns are 41-9, bro.
I botched it.
Badly.
I botched it.
Terribly.
This is what happens. I didn't do this till I didn't.
What an unbelievable mess up.
You are fired by CarMax.
Oh my God. You know what? I don't want this job anymore. I want to.
Bond, since you're now in charge of the CarMax trivia question,
I'm going to have to be.
I'm like, this can't just be right.
Unbelievable.
27-11 is good, but it ain't.
That's why I second guessed myself. I assumed it couldn't be good enough. By the way, this is just another chance for Brian to whine about his incorrect take from last year. He's just continuing to come back
I now make up a fake
trivia question with the incorrect data so I can just come back and try to make a bad joke.
As I'm reading the stat from Stats and Info, asterisk, out of all players that do not play for the Warriors or Suns.
just look at you.
Brought to you by CarMax. What player, other than the players for the Suns, it's not even a good trivia question if I take out Suns and Warriors.
All right, let me.
That's brought to you by CarMax. Shop online or on the lot with home delivery in select markets. You think CarMax wants to double up on that quality content? My point is Embiid is really good, even if he misses a few games.
Which is a point that no one has argued in a calendar year, and you continue to bring it up. So great. I'm glad we covered it again.
Apparently, a lot of people argue it. I can't believe I botched that. That's so embarrassing.
You've botched this entire argument for a year.
I have not. I feel good. I feel as the days go by, I feel better and better about
that. I mean, you clearly feel good about it. You continue to reference it. So.
Do you want another trivia question?
There's no coming back from that. Just to move along.
We're going to roll with that.
All right.
Well, yes, of course we are. What else are we going to do?
I have a new trivia question. I have a new one. On Wednesday night, Joel Embiid
had his
18th straight game with 25 points, tying LeBron for the longest streak this season. The only other 7-footers in NBA history to record 18 consecutive 25-point games are
Wilt and Shaq.
Wilt is correct. Shaq is not on this list.
David Robinson.
Good guess, but no.
This guy
was known for scoring some points.
Is Akeem counted as a 7-footer because he wasn't in reality? Oh, Kareem.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's Jackson and NBA Stats and Info sent it to us. Will the editors edit out my mistake?
Absolutely not. No. If they do, we're protesting.
That trivia question is brought to you by CarMax.
The world will know. The world will know if it is edited out.
The let's pump up the process trivia question of the week.
Anyway, he doesn't have to pump him up because he's doing it on his own. Just named Eastern Conference Player of the Month.
I don't know. They had to sit him down to beat the Grizzlies.
Jokic, Western Conference.
Then played him to lose to the Wizards.
Jokic has a little toe and back-to-back, 6 games, 9 nights. He rested last night. Come on, man. You get a chance to see Jokic play live. And Michael Malone, he robbed me of that. I was upset.
He'd been banged up. Jazz.
The Jazz were not upset because they needed that win.
They sure did.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. So we'll talk about the Jazz here in a minute. First off, I want to talk about the Pelicans. Not that I think that the Pelicans are like the super most interesting team, but a couple of things. Number one, we are, by my count, almost 2 weeks late on our alleged next update on Zion Williamson. He left the team and went to Portland. We were told he'll be back. He'll get his next round of tests in 2 to 3 weeks, and we'll have an update. 2 to 3 weeks has passed. 4 weeks has passed. We have no update on Zion Williamson. That's what I'm going to say there.
So, Wendy, updates on Zion, it's like scheduled start times for our podcast and you. It's like there's a time when they say it's going to happen, and then there's a time when you actually show up.
I was a couple minutes late to this.
Also, probably trying to get the damn trivia question that he botched.
I was trying
of course. To get just great. Just botched. Professional work. Just super professional work.
That is our Hoop Collective leader.
I was preparing for our Hoop Collective short on YouTube, which is going to be on the greatest trade deadline moves of the last 20 years. I was doing all of that research and I go, oh my God, I forgot about our trivia question.
And so then he did no research and botched it. There we go.
I did half bleep research, which was. This is a lesson to our young listeners that don't do, half bleep work and then you get these kind of results. Bontemps, I'm farming it out to you, the trivia question. I'm delegating.
There you go.
Well, sure. He's farming out to you because he doesn't trust me to do any homework either.
I'll make sure we don't have failed trivia questions starting next week.
All right. The Pelicans, from the folks I'm talking to, even though Zion is unsure and like there's eerie quiet here, because, they like to give Zion updates like every 10 minutes that he's out, he's out, he's out, he's out, he's out. They're pretty active looking to buy, even though they're outside the top 10 right now. And like, look, maybe they won't be able to buy. Maybe they won't find a deal, but it won't be for lack of trying, because from what I understand, they've got this whole portfolio of draft picks, including the top 10 protected Lakers pick. Like if they could trade it and a team could take it, and if it's in the top 10, they get it. And if it's outside the top 10, it still goes to Memphis, but they could trade that part of the pick. And a whole bunch of other picks that they've gotten, both from the Bucks and the Lakers. And those Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis deals, plus their own picks, which I wouldn't trade if I were them. But and they've made Josh Hart available in some of these trades.
That part makes sense.
Right.
They have the
expiring contract of Tomas Satoransky. Not that that would be an asset, but if you need money to balance the deal. Mm-hmm. So from what I understand, they have talked to the Blazers about CJ McCollum. They have talked to the Kings about De'Aaron Fox. They have talked to the Rockets about Eric Gordon. They have talked to the Hawks about Kevin Huerter, probably more that I don't know about. Now, obviously, the offers for these players wouldn't be the same, but the Pelicans are buying. Do we like the Pelicans trying to buy at this point, Bontemps?
I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense other than that if you're trying to secure your job and secure the 10th spot in the play-in tournament, which is what they're, the two objectives I think that are trying to be accomplished here. I mean, look, if the Pelicans trade for a CJ McCollum or Spencer Dinwiddie or one of these guys, I don't think it's materially changing their future other than that they have a better chance of making the play-in tournament. And if, you know, at some point Zion resurfaces and can play a game this year, potentially they can win a game or two in the play-in tournament and make the playoffs and lose in the first round to Memphis or Phoenix or Golden State. So
awesome.
You know, yeah. So I mean, no, but I haven't really liked anything Memphis has done for about four.
New Orleans. Memphis.
New Orleans has done for about 4 years. So this would sort of be in keeping with that for me.
Look, now, okay. If you're talking about De'Aaron Fox, yeah, I could see that making sense because you're not buying for this year. You're buying.
That one does. Yes.
Yeah. You're buying for the years beyond. CJ McCollum at 30 years old. Like, dude, the Pelicans are in a rebuild, whether they want to admit it or not. CJ McCollum, like, you know, and then what are you going to do? You're going to fart around and maybe sneak into a play-in tournament? Just come on now. Be real. Like, selling Josh Hart where you've got, you know, he's got some value and you can get things that can help you in the future. Yeah, because I think Josh Hart would have a lot of interest. Eric Gordon? No, Eric Gordon would be a great fit for a lot of teams that have a chance to do something this season.
Yeah.
You're not like Eric Gordon and try to get into the play. Because here's the other thing. Like, the Rockets aren't giving you Eric Gordon, at least what they say. You ain't getting Eric Gordon without giving up a first-round pick. For a team that's trying to make the play-in tournament to give up a first-round pick to help that is absolute insanity.
Maybe they won't do it, but I mean, there's a lot of smoke. It feels like there's just a lot of smoke in general. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I got a couple of pages of notes of alleged trade stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not excited about any of it.
Well, and we've mentioned the two guys who are probably the best players that are realistically could be traded, and that's De'Aaron Fox and CJ McCollum.
So let me ask you this. So this has been reported elsewhere, but I've heard it as well, that the Knicks have shown some interest in De'Aaron Fox. The player that makes the most sense in that swap would be Julius Randle. You know, I've run hot and cold on De'Aaron. I like him. I like him as a guy. I like his mentality. And I think, you know, if you could get him, he's under contract. I'm not sure he really changes that much in that trade for the Knicks, but it certainly alleviates a deteriorating issue with in New York with Julius Randle, both his relationship with Tibbs and his relationship with the fans. But regardless of that, you know, the Kings, they're like all over the place. You hear Harrison Barnes, you hear De'Aaron Fox. I don't think Halliburton is available, but I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I don't know if anybody can say they're unavailable. You know, you hear Buddy Hield. They may end up doing
Marvin Bagley the III's available if you're willing to give up like three pairs of USET sweat socks.
Yeah, he demanded a trade like a year ago or longer. So I have no idea what the Kings are going to do. I don't know if they're going to look different 8 days from now or if they're going to look the same. It's hard to read. I know they're talking to a lot of people. You know, Woj had a story last week that they pulled out of talking about Ben Simmons. I mean, that's a negotiating stance. I mean, what are they not going to answer a call from Daryl? You know, of course they are.
I remember a day when a certain Russian billionaire owner got to the microphone and declared that his team was out on the bidding for a certain star player named Carmelo Anthony a decade ago. And Mikhail Prokhorov and Billy King and Bobby Marks, our colleague, left that press conference and promptly called the Denver Nuggets. So yeah. I would say the posturing is high this time of year.
Bobby told the story on the pod recently. We were walking out of the press conference and Bobby said to Billy King, "Does this mean we're really out on Carmelo?" And then Billy King went, "No." So yeah, I mean, it's you know, so you've got to be careful of that. But I don't know what the Kings are going to do, McMahon. I don't even know if I care what the Kings are going to
do. Well, I know what they should do. They should go into a sell mode because there's not a lot of sellers. Like, again, this like fighting and scratching and clawing and hoping you can make the play-in tournament
the playoffs in 16 years.
It is the one franchise that might hang a play-in banner. you know, but I think they've got like, I would, to me, anybody but Halliburton would be available, you know, and you're not, it's not a fire sale. You're trying to get significant value. Obviously you're not moving guys unless they're deals that make sense for you, but I would put anybody, and I believe anybody but Halliburton is available for the right price.
So I mentioned McCollum, you know, it's been a little bit of a mystery what the Blazers are going to do. Anthony Simons has played really well. He's a free agent. You know, I assume that they want to keep him. So
it feels destined to get too much money this summer.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Well, it depends on who you
From who, though? There's not, it's not a great market for free agents.
But I mean, that could be their saving grace, but I would not be rushing to, I mean, if they could pay him what, say the Pelicans paid Devontae Graham, you're paying him $12-13 million a year to be a sixth man scorer for you. I like that. If you're paying him $18-20 million a year to be a starter, I'm not sure I like that.
Yeah.
So, it'd be interesting to see if they try to move on from McCollum to make room in both salary and playing time for Simons, assuming that Dame is healthy and back long-term. So we'll see about that.
And then Covington, Nurkic, I mean, they have guys who they should definitely be trying to move, guys in the last year of their contract. This is the perfect year for the Trailblazers to have an accidental tank. Shut Dame down the rest of the season.
But they've been winning a little bit recently, but
they couldn't beat the freaking Lakers last night.
Yeah. Anthony Davis, by the way, if you're looking for positives in the Lakers, Anthony Davis off the knee injury. He had a spectacular game Wednesday night, and he's been playing very well. So I don't know what's happening with LeBron. I don't know how serious this is, but again, like there is some, you need like a Sherpa to get to through the path, but there is a way the Lakers could still make this happen, but it's
listeners are really on top of the references here, pal, really on top of it.
Thank Listen, you. If you're looking for positives for the Kings, they
Tenzing Norgay, Google
the Kings beat the Nets last night and Coolio taunted Steve Nash before his press conference. Coolio, the halftime performer, taunted Steve Nash, said the home team is 10-0. When Coolio performs at halftime, and this road trip, the Nets have lost all three on the road trip, six in a row total. It has not been a fantastic voyage for the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh my God. I am tempted.
Come along and ride with me, Wendy. Come along and ride, baby.
I mean, first off, our colleague, Nick Friedel, I've been with Coolio's main income source. I think nowadays is playing halftimes of NBA games. He plays Fantastic Voyage, Gangster's Paradise, and like one or two other songs. As a guy who went to high school in the 90s, I love it. Friedel like rocks out. You should see him.
Guess who I get Friedel's... to see tonight in Salt Coolio. Lake City?
Coolio.
No, the next best thing. Friedel. Jolly old St. Nick. Coming to Salt Lake City, baby.
The laugh track makes its rounds.
He's
with the team that's just laughing all over the place. Right? Things are so happy.
James Harden ain't laughing.
Sure ain't. You know what? You know who else is going to be laughing? Whoever pays James Harden $150 or $200 million this summer.
Ooh,
ain't going to be laughing at all.
They're going to win the press conference. All right. Speaking of the Jazz.
Yeah, and lose the chance to win championships.
So Donovan Mitchell has been out a couple of weeks now with a concussion. It's worrisome. I think that the worry is that he's going to be okay. They're not worried about lingering effects, but he's taken some time to get back. Gobert has been out as well. But more importantly than that is Gobert and Mitchell have been at each other's, I don't know if I say at each other's throats.
It's back to being passive aggressively awkward.
Yeah. And it's like the most underplayed story in the league right now, I think, because the Jazz are struggling a lot. They, you know, this team had big expectations and they're getting passed by, quite frankly. They're not on the level that they were a year ago. Donovan and Gobert, even though they're both under long-term contract, are under each other's skin. There's all kinds of subtweeting and passive aggressive stuff going on. They were the number three defensive team in the league last year. This year they're 14th. That's not getting it done. Gobert has been pretty clear that he is blaming Donovan for that.
He's pretty clear that Donovan gets some of that blame. He's pretty clear that as a team, they need to, in his words, build championship habits and play harder, be more focused on details. And Donovan's can I read a part a quote? Of that. You can.
Can I read a quote from Rudy Gobert? This is from about 2 weeks ago.
This is from some of these... right after Gobert missed five games with COVID. They went 1-4 in those games, and like the Pistons scored 197 points on them.
Yeah.
This is from the first practice back after Gobert's stint in protocols.
That's correct. I'm gonna have a question after this is over. When I watch some of these other teams like the Suns or Warriors, those guys are a step ahead of us in terms of winning habits. They take every game personally. Devin Booker is playing his bleep off defensively. I've been watching him compared to 2 years ago. Guys like that, they buy in, and you can tell they take pride in playing defense at stopping their man, doing whatever they can defensively to stop the other team and be part of a winning culture. I think we're not there yet, but I think we're going to get there. I'm going to ask you guys a question. Was Rudy Gobert talking about Donovan Mitchell in that quote? I think the answer is unequivocally yes.
Well, Donovan Mitchell sure as hell felt like the answer was unequivocally
right.
yes.
And I heard that quote. So, the first thing I said was, well, there we go. That's going right at Donovan Mitchell's neck.
If these guys played for the Knicks or the Nets or even like the Suns or something, Stephen A. would be talking about this on First Take. Because it's two all-star level players, one of whom is young and superstar quality. Like I know that there's
the
a
other
lot
of whom is more valuable.
Here we go. So, I mean,
listen, Stephen A. might not be talking about it, but they sent me to Salt Lake City. What else do you want, dude? Like, I don't want that's a big want, deal now, baby.
I want your report. You know, there's a lot of downsides that you know, being in a small market like Salt Lake City, but one upside is, when you have drama, it doesn't go national. Well, there's some drama here. And the Jazz number one trade asset, Joe Ingles, unfortunately just had a devastating knee injury. Yeah. I don't know where it's going to leave his career, quite frankly. He was already not having a very good year.
Well,
his trade value was low.
I can tell you this, and I believe I'll have a story on it soon, but Joe Ingles retiring ain't happening. I was told in very direct, profane manner. He will be back.
Okay. Well, good.
As somebody who's a fan of Joe Ingles, the guy, and has long been a fan of Joe Ingles, the player, I am happy to hear that.
Yeah. But you know what?
Unfortunately, you can't trade him for value right now. Probably. Although
he's an expiring contract, and that's right. You know, you can trade him. Obviously, he's not going anywhere, but maybe you can do something with the team that's looking to get off salary next season. You know, the Jazz can trade a future pick. We will see.
So, having said that, the Jazz mm-hmm. have already traded two first-round picks, mm-hmm. One for Mike Conley, and what was the other one for?
It was to get off of Derek Favors.
Oh, boy.
To save some money off of their very large tax bill.
Right. So that's two first-round picks. They're out. You can only trade picks 7 years in advance. Obviously, they own their 2029 second-round pick, but you could only trade picks 7 years in advance, and they've traded five of those available second rounders. So they're out two firsts. because of the not that you're going to trade second rounders and like solve everything, but the Jazz are going the wrong direction. They have a chemistry problem with their stars. They have a systematic problem with their defense. They have a lack of assets. They're sitting there watching the Suns and Warriors, kick everyone's tail. And
the Grizzlies zoom by them.
Memphis is flown by them.
It's, you know, I don't want to make too much of this, but I'm starting to feel a little bit warm on the seat in Utah.
They've lost 11 to 14 now after they beat the Jazz JV, beat the Nuggets JV last night. And in that stretch, Donovan has missed 8 games. Rudy has missed, I believe, a total of 9. So, you know, obviously those two have their own little issues or whatever. But typically, like when they get those guys in the locker room, on the floor together, all that stuff is manageable. I think at this point, it still falls in the manageable category. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but when they have their starters available, like the Jazz still have a very good record, but nobody here is going to tell you that the Jazz have been good enough this year, even when they have all their guys. Like they recognize, you know, and part of it is like this thing where the Jazz can't prove anything positive until the second round of the playoffs because, like, hey, they had the best record in the league last year and got bounced.
They're in the spot that Milwaukee was in last year.
Yeah. And so, you know, but cruise control until the playoffs, good luck, dude. You're going to end up starting out on the road and you ain't going to get to the second round if you think you're just flipping a switch once the playoffs start. So there's a little bit of that. I mean, there's a lot of kind of, you know, little funky things that are adding up to not good. And it's obviously exacerbated by the two stars who, you know, aren't going out to have a picnic anytime soon.
It's also exacerbated on the floor by the fact that they've had turnover in their front office.
Yeah. And they're looking over their shoulder and here comes Danny Ainge, who is the primary shot caller and a part-time employee. You know, Justin Zanuck is still doing all the day-to-day GM work and basically
Justin Zanuck, who's excellent at his job, by the way, mm-hmm. basically Justin Zanuck admitted he didn't even know Danny Ainge, right? Didn't he? Basically
say no. That? And Danny Ainge is Ryan Smith, the new owner. He's his guy, you know, they're friends. I mean,
BYU,
born in Oregon, BYU, which all that kind fine. Of stuff.
Like if you're a billionaire and you buy the team, you can put in whoever is in charge of it. But you bringing a guy in the middle of the season who doesn't have relationships.
And Zanuck reports to Ainge and, you know, Ainge and Ryan Smith make the decisions.
And then you've got Dwayne Wade. Like he has some sort of role and he's like mentoring Donovan Mitchell, but like he's.
Well, and then you have Donovan Mitchell who, you know, when you talk about Jazz front off decisions, how much sway does he have? Significant. Well,
he is very close with Dwayne Wade, but like Dwayne's like sometimes he's there and sometimes he's not. I don't know what his role is.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, when you talk about the Jazz's culture, part of the culture here, and we've talked about this before, and you know, people in Salt Lake City didn't like it, but part of the culture of this franchise right now is to kiss Donovan Mitchell's butt at every turn.
Well, that's not what Rudy Gobert is doing.
Well, yeah. And I think part of that was the frustration of, hey, you know what? Somebody's got to be direct and honest. Now,
well, Donovan had
the debate internally is okay, Rudy, you can be direct and honest and not do it in front of microphones.
Fair. All right. So the Jazz are, I don't know what they can do. They've been attached to Robert Covington. I don't know if trade for Robert Covington.
I would say based on some discussions I've had that Robert Covington is not a guy they view as a solution to their problems.
All right. Yeah. Well,
They got a lot of them. I mean, to McMahon's point, I looked it up while he was talking. Their starting lineup is plus 13 per 100 possessions over 480 minutes. Yeah. So that if you're the Jazz, you hang your hat on that and say, when we have our guys, like mm-hmm. they did the first couple months of the season, they looked as good as anybody in the league. But again, like right now, if you look at it, let's say Denver gets their guys back. Like say they get Jamal Murray back. Like, you play Denver in the first round. Like that's I'm not sure how that series is going to go for
you. I mean, you play Dallas and Luka's cooking. That's dangerous. Yep. You play Memphis. I mean, let me tell you, you know, Morant averaged 30 a game in that series last year. Series only lasted five games, but poor perimeter defense and Ja Morant is problematic.
Yeah, it's all right. It's nervy times for the Jazz.
Let's talk about your Dallas Mavericks, who had a rough loss Wednesday night to the Thunder. Was that game in Dallas?
They have managed, after playing so well for a while, they have managed in their last two games to lose to the Orlando Magic and the Oklahoma City Thunder. When you lose back-to-back, consecutive games to tanking teams, that's tough.
Lou Dort was a 30-point game, and that also Trey Mann.
14 straight points in overtime, Lou Dort.
Luka had a 40-point, 6-rebound, 10-assist performance and took the blame for the loss, and he was 100% right because, as he said himself, it was his worst defensive performance of the season. And if you go back and look at some of his work early in the season, that is a strong statement.
Well, Josh Giddey caught him not paying attention on the game-tying inbounds pass of 7 seconds ago and fired a pass for a layup to Kenrich Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've seen a lot of teams losing games like that the last week or so. And I think everybody, especially with how crazy the season has been with COVID and stuff, I think everybody sees this All-Star break coming and is like, everybody's sort of struggling to the All-Star break right now.
Okay. So anyway, Trey Mann, who's who was their other first round pick other than Giddey.
Yeah.
He had 29.
Trey Mann, who's one of four keepers, for sure keepers on that Thunder roster.
Remember, the Thunder could have had like picks. If everything worked out perfect, they could have had picks 1 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up with picks like 6 and 17.
Yep.
And Giddey and Mann were their two guys, and they both played really well. Anyway, so the Mavericks, I hear their names out there attached to some things, McMahon. nothing that I, sort of bigger things, but like nothing that I think is like super duper like exciting and actionable. What I think the real question is, and I know you've talked about this before, but I'm just checking in with you here. Dorian Finney-Smith and Jalen Brunson are unrestricted free agents. Certainly the Mavericks can pay them both.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, will they pay them both? And if that decision is squishy, will they trade one of them? And that is, a lot of the trade rumors have been attached to Brunson and to Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah.
I hear all kinds of different things. I hear them talking to the Kings about stuff. I hear rumors them talking to the Celtics about Marcus Smart. I hear rumors them I hear them talking to the Hawks about John Collins. But again, like some of this stuff, like these are just rumors. Like executives are telling them to me, but like, again, it's kind of like I write them down on my scratch pad and I'm like, okay, I'll denote that I heard it, but it's not like something I would like call Woj with and say, Woj, I think this is happening.
Yeah.
Like let's track this down. Like, that's, so I don't know what Dallas is going to do, but there's a lot of chatter out there. And they have a new GM. So I don't know, and Cuban's going to be the main driver, but I don't know how it's going to go with them.
Well, I can say with certainty that they've shown interest in Marcus Smart in the past. I don't know how much that has been recent. I have been told, and I paraphrase, that unless it's a what the bleep are they thinking type of offer, that Jalen Brunson's not getting traded.
Okay.
The plan is to move forward with Jalen Brunson and Dorian Finney-Smith. Like the Mavericks, they don't think that their roster is championship caliber right now. They certainly would like to upgrade the roster, but it's really hard to do that when Brunson's making like 1.8, Finney-Smith's making 4, and they just don't have good salary to attach to that. You know, any salary they would have loved to move off Hardaway. That's not happening after he breaks his foot and undergoes surgery.
Well, they just signed him.
Yeah, I know. And I think there's some buyer's remorse there. But to me, you need to re-sign Brunson. You need to re-sign Finney-Smith. Because if you just let those guys go, you're not getting cap space. You're just saving tax money and saving money. But the best way to save tax money, if you're Mark Cuban, is to put Luke in a situation a few years where he feels like he needs to force his way out of Dallas to have a chance to win. So if you re-sign Finney-Smith, if you re-sign Brunson, those guys are helping you win games. And if something pops up, like, they'll still have trade value. Now, they could have probably gotten an extension done with Brunson before the season, and they still technically can leading up to free agency. But that extension is there's a cap on it because the Bobby Marks explanation that I'm not smart enough to explain. Long story short, with him coming off
it behooves him to have a fresh, brand new deal, not extend his current one. Long story
short. They can offer 4 years and like 55. Jalen Brunson's looking to get paid more. There's been a lot of speculation, whispers around the way, well, Brunson might want his own team. In other words, Brunson might want to be a full-time starting point guard instead of, you know, playing off of Luka. I can say with confidence that Brunson's preference would be to stay in Dallas, but he's not taking any kind of discounts. He's trying to get paid as he absolutely should.
His preference should be, you know, he's made very little money in his first three or four years.
Yeah, his priority is four. His priority is to get paid. His preference is for that to be in Dallas.
Okay. Definitely, you know, money first.
Yeah, and you know, I think the same with Dorian Finney-Smith, who the last, you know, an undrafted guy who's been a great developmental success story. The Mavericks signed him when he was a 30% career three-point shooter. He shot in the upper 30s in the 3 years since then on a 3 year, 12 mil deal. He's been a great bargain at 4 mil a year. He's the kind of guy that every good team needs. Dorian Finney-Smith is who people think Robert Covington is, because he actually can guard 1 through 4, the other team's best scorer. And he's a 3-and-D guy, great role player. Some people I talk to around the league think Finney-Smith could get up to 15 mil a year. That's considered the floor based on people I talk to for Brunson. The Mavericks, they're looking at this saying, not a lot of teams with cap space. Teams are rebuilding. They've invested in young guards. Market might be closer to the mid-level. I'd say good luck with that.
It's hard. Well, it's hard to look at like San Antonio and Orlando, two of the teams with cap space, or even Oklahoma City, and say, boy, they're in the mood to pay a role player, you know, 15 million.
Or Brunson, when, you know, the Thunder have Gildas Alexander and basically Giddey's is their point guard. You know, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, some of the other young guys in San Antonio. Orlando's just drafted Suggs, still have Fultz, you know, Hampton. I mean, they've got a lot of young guards they've invested in. And so, but here's the thing. If there's a sign, if Brunson and his agent find a sign and trade situation where he's got a much more significant offer on the table, you can't lowball him if you're the Mavericks. You can't, you can't create.
Well, end of the day, I don't think they're going to trade him.
Right. I agree with that. I don't think the Mavericks do anything that is going to be a needle mover before the deadline. I'm not saying they won't, they're going to try. I look at their lack of assets.
Yeah, they're just limited. I think it's tough. Yeah.
Bontemps, I know everybody's like, well, Ben Simmons this and Ben Simmons that. I'm just not like, I'm having these conversations to get a feel, and, you know, who knows what percentage I'm hearing, but like, I'm not excited about any of this, to be honest with you.
Do you think James Harden will buy that house that Ben Simmons is trying to sell?
Maybe.
He can afford it.
I mean, look, I think there's a few things working against this being an interesting deadline. One of them is the fact that most of the good teams have traded all their picks, right? So generally, the best way to make trades is use picks and some salary to get a better player. Well, if none of these teams have picks, then you're talking about trading player for player. That always gets a lot more complicated. So there's the first thing. The second thing is there's a lot of teams that are either trying, most of the teams are trying to save money or trying to duck the tax, because the fact that the salary cap is flat the last couple of years and is only now just starting to go back up means that there was a lot of money that piled on top of each other. And you've got a lot of teams that are hovering around the tax line. So there's not a lot of flexibility for teams to say, take in 6 million and send out 10, right? Because if you do one way or the other, one side's going to be in the tax, the other isn't. And with this being a record year for tax payments, teams don't want to be in the tax. Now,
let me stop you on that. So like, that's the thing. See, sometimes I think fans are like, well, you know, the tax is penal, but like, what are we doing here? why are we trying to save, you know, 800,000 or 3 million or something like that? That's not the way you look at the tax, because like you look at the Celtics. The Celtics are like, how much into the tax right now, Bontemps? Like
3 million-ish. Okay. I don't remember the number, but it's
right.
Very little bit.
Okay. So you'd say if they somehow made a deal to save that 3 million, they would save that $3 million plus another, like how much in tax money, like maybe 6 million or so.
Say it's a total of $4.5 million in savings or so.
Okay. All right. You say, well, $4.5 million. Do you want to try to make it to the second round of the playoffs? But not only do you get out of that tax, that salary, but then you're able to get the disbursement from the other tax-paying teams. The money that from the luxury tax goes from the taxpayers to the non-taxpayers.
And you're going to be north of $10 million. Yeah. It's going to be north of $10 million this year.
And you also don't want to be in the repeater tax.
For sure. That's a factor for teams that have high payrolls over a long period of time. So with the Clippers paying so much money and the Sixers paying so much money and the Nets paying so much money and the Lakers and the Bucks, teams that aren't getting out of the tax, it's going to be potentially the highest tax payout ever. So the difference between being a couple of million dollars into the tax and getting out of the tax is potentially a $10 to $15 million move. And that could be the difference between you making money and losing money this season. So that's a factor. And again, that's all boring stuff. Like, who cares about the ledger? I just want to win tomorrow's game. But when you talk about trades, and like when I hear like who the Rockets might trade Daniel Tice to, for example, like, have time in my life taken up by this conversation.
I remember he's on the roster.
Yeah. When I go through that kind of stuff, it's like, you know, and again, I mean, we're about to do right after we're wrapping this, which we are in a minute here. We're going to record this thing on trade deadline moves, the actual deadline day moves. And I looked back at the last 20 years and like 98% of them, I didn't care then. And I don't care. I really don't care now.
Right. The other thing that's impacting this thing too is the fact that there's a lot less sellers than there even used to be because of the play-in tournament. Yeah. And people might look at it and go, oh, why are teams trying to get in the play-in tournament? Well, again, to go back to the beginning of our conversation about this stuff, look at a team like the New Orleans Pelicans, people like to stay employed. And if you make the play-in tournament, maybe make the playoffs, maybe stay employed. And so it's easy to say from the outside, oh yeah, trade these guys away. Tank, blow it up, try to get draft picks. Well, if you tank and blow up and try to get draft picks, that gets people fired.
Well, you know who Sam Presti really thinks should be a seller? He thinks the Clippers should be sellers this year. Hey, Steve Ballmer, I know you've got, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, but you don't want to pay that tax, man.
I don't know about that much, but he's
maybe part, Sam Presti will get lucky and get the first and second picks in this year's draft with the Clippers pick.
You should have a fire sale. You should have a fire sale there with the Clippers.
There are some things happening with the Clippers that you hear rumors of out there where you're like, what are they doing? Like some of the stuff that I hear, I'm not going to say it right now, but like you hear like some of the
talk. If it happens, he'll tell you he knew it though.
He'll be all over it.
just like
the CarMax trivia question. They'll have it just unlocked.
Yeah. But like you're starting to wonder, like, what are the Clippers doing? Because the Clippers are having some conversations looking to do some things. So I'm like, I don't get it. There must be something else going on. So I don't know. We'll see what that is. All right. Thank you, Bontemps.
Talk to you after the trade deadline next week.
That's right.
This will all be over. Hooray.
Thank God. God knows how loopy I'll be at that point. Oh my God. I cannot wait for the trivia question next week.
Bontemps is in charge. It's been taken off.
It will be an accurate trivia question. I can promise the listeners.
Oh my God. That was such a terrible botch. Oh my God. My credibility is so damaged. Thank you to Bontemps. Thank you to McMahon. Thank you to Jackson, who I'm sure is going to edit out that mistake. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to
you. He's a good man. He will not do that.
Talk to you next week.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft.
begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.